Something momentous happened to the official music singles chart this week. Sales of digital downloads of songs, now running at about 40,000 a week in New Zealand, began to be counted for the first time. It wasn't just an embrace of the new, but a return to the old days when sales charts were a reflection of, well, sales. For years now, the singles chart has been based to a greater or lesser degree not on the decisions of the punters, but on those of a handful of radio programmers. Under Rianza's new chart rules, a single will no longer be eligible for the charts on radio play alone. It can be an album track, but it must actually be for sale. Radio still has some influence on the chart, but how much? And is there a future for DRM, or digital rights management, the software that limits what you can do with your music? For the answers to these and other questions, we turn to Rianza's president, Adam Holt, and Chris Hockard, the founder of New Zealand's first digital download store, mp3.net, now better known as Amplifier. Adam, there's been talk of this being done with a chart for maybe the last 3 years. Why did it take so long?
To be really honest, we were waiting for iTunes to get here, which got here in November. Vodafone and Telecom especially were delivering a lot of numbers for us, but iTunes were the ones that actually round out the story. And then last couple of months, been working with them and getting their reporting, and it's all looking good.
Well, Chris, you were the early entrant to this market with mp3.net.nz. Yep. Do you feel like the market's come of age now?
No, I think it's moving. I always thought that there was going to be a tipping point and it would be exponential growth. I don't think that's really happened yet. But I still think it's coming. It's better. It's definitely, you know, the more that goes in there, the better. I think now we're getting to the point where people are starting to question quality and delivery mechanisms and payment things and that. I think that is a sign that we're starting to get beyond the gee whiz stuff and into, okay, well, this is real. This is actually really going to happen. Now let's look at it critically instead of get all excited about it. And I think we'll go through a phase of that, and there's a bit of pricing's got to settle down, you know, both from the repertoire owner and also from the consumer's point of view. That all needs to steady out, and payment mechanisms have to be sorted out, and then I think then we'll have game on. Way to go yet.
What sort of numbers are we talking about at the moment? 40,000 tracks downloaded every week, which sounds a lot. In terms of the charts, how many of those are actually potential top 40 singles?
In a given week, there's probably around about, on our initial testing, looking like around 15 to maximum, maybe 20,000 will go into the top 40. And then the split between that is probably 3-1 digital to physical. So if you look at a number one single, maybe doing 300 units, it'll do probably 900 to 1,000.
So this is digitally. The digital chart, you're talking digital singles chart, yeah?
We're talking combined chart.
It's combined. Sales of singles, for years we've all been going on, and you know, they're a lost leader, they're a promotional tool, and slowly but surely the singles dropped off. How many physical singles is being sold?
It's probably around about 3,500 to 4,000 a week.
So this is fantastic.
It's still pretty good.
In terms of getting an idea of what's really going, from a single perspective, it's quite amazing.
I believe that the digital thing will actually show us much faster how it's happening, and we'll get much more instant results on how it's going. But I think, you know, both formats are going to coexist quite happily.
So you don't expect physical singles to disappear altogether?
Not immediately. I think, you know, over time, you know, it will possibly, but not immediately, no.
Chris, do you think that, I mean, with Amplifier, you're dealing with mostly independent artists. Do you think this is going to be a benefit to them because they can get the reach without needing that physical distribution?
No, I don't know that's necessarily what it's about, in all honesty, Russell. It's the chart, the top 10 is really about marketing. It's purely and simply, you know, the main thing is marketing, and the commercial charts are all about. But you look at them, you run through, they are the big pop acts. They're the acts with all the money spent on them. And I don't think that from a single perspective that the independent New Zealanders are going to penetrate that too much. But I do think that overall it's going to make a difference because the chart's a marketing tool, and anything that is out there helping to push people to buy music is going to help. But just specifically, no, not really.
Yeah, because these are sales made online, which sort of suggests to me that you're going to be looking at new kinds of marketing. you know, whether it's affiliate marketing via websites or clicking through to sales and that sort of thing. I mean, are you looking at that yet, Adam?
I think that's the most important thing we've got in our future. Basically, we're going to be re-engineering Universal, who I work for, and our marketing department will operate completely differently. I'm going to have to bring some new sort of people into the organisation who understands this and the ability to new form of marketing, you know, sort of basically
crystal
ECRM marketing.
Gazes,
the ability to actually sort of work with websites, you know, click-throughs, and that's going to have an instant effect on the chart. So, I see this as a really exciting change for the industry today, but it's a signal of a significant change in the way we work going forward.
And I have to say, one of the complaints from the artists about the new download market is that they feel they don't get a big enough cut of the revenues. Is that likely to change?
Well, that's obviously down to each particular record company, each contract, and the way it works. And you know, as each artist works through with their label owner, you know, be it major or indie, then they need to work through that one.
Now, Chris, you're working on a slightly different model because Amplifier is not only a download site. You're also acting as an aggregator.
Got two forms of business, both of them trying to survive. Amplifier is a retail outlet, pure and simple. It's there to sell New Zealand music. The long-term aim of it has always been to be like the place digitally where you go to find out anything you need to know about New Zealand music, and that's what it's always been. That it still hasn't achieved that, and quite honestly, it's got, you know, we still don't have major label content on it, so it's still got a hell of a long way to go. But the aggregation thing's a different thing again, and that's purely and simply that as the majors become, I suppose, more concentrated and, you know, smaller and a bit more effective, they are less likely to be looking for an offer. I think this is fair. They're not so much looking to provide everything for everyone anymore. And as the independent stuff surges, and it is surging again at the moment, there isn't a home for it anywhere else. So all we're doing is saying, hey, we know how to do it. It's a service that needs to be done. There's a gap, obvious gap. We already have all the resources to do the other part of it. So we just said, we'll give that a crack. So there'll be 300 or 400 tracks, indie, you know, purely indie tracks, available across the whole thing quite soon.
So what format are those tracks in? Are they in
Are
they copy protected? Are they in DRM formats?
Nah, some of them are, some of them aren't. What happens? They're all different. This is the stupid thing about the way, you know, say, is it matured? Well, there's too many formats. Vodafone required delivery in 29 different digital formats. That's insane. Digirama are really cool because they're like New Zealand number 8 wire, and you can just, they'll take whatever you've got in any format you've got and they'll convert it for you. DRM doesn't work by, I don't encode a file and put DRM on it. DRM is technology that when you download a track, you actually download a license and it encodes as it flies, so it's a little bit different.
Now, actually, yeah.
What are they? They're WAV files.
We're on DRM, there's an interesting issue that's come up this week with the news that Coke Tunes is going to close down in August, and people have realised that, hang on, they might be at risk there.
What's the risk?
Because it's DRM and you have to download a licence to play the track, so if you want to move your music to your new PC, what do you do? I mean, has Rianne's taken an interest in that?
It's not a Rianne's issue because obviously each individual company has their own agreements with Coke Tunes, but certainly from a Universal perspective, I've been speaking with Coke Tunes and the people running it, and I've made exactly the same concerns to them because we're concerned for the consumers that have bought it. So haven't got any direct answers from them yet, but we're looking to make sure that the people who have bought Universal tracks from Coke Tunes are going to be supported through in the future.
Yeah, because it's a whole new world, isn't it? Yeah, if a record shop shuts down,
you've still got the record. Mm. How's that going to work?
Yeah, but we are aware of it.
So come on, bring on non-DRM, kick it in the ass, get rid of it, and just move on, trust people.
Got to ask you this, Adam. Do you think that's going to be, eventually, in the end, we're looking at non-DRM tracks? So EMI seems to have had a pretty good response.
I think
they were backed into a corner when they did that.
Yeah, so. I think there was a number of issues that actually forced that issue faster than I think possibly the industry was looking at. However, you know, EMI have made the move. I think this is the big test, though. Everyone was going to just sit back and wait for a month or two, just see where, if DRM is the big issue everyone's talking about. Because obviously, within an iTunes iPod ecosystem, most people don't actually feel DRM.
And actually, if we just get back to the charts thing for a moment, one thing I meant to ask earlier was, it will no longer be possible under Rhiannon's rules for the chart to for a single to chart solely on radio play. It has to be for sale. And yet there'll still be some element of radio play in the charts. Exactly how's that going to work?
Yeah, radio makes up about a 25% share of the singles chart we're talking here. Essentially, what basically happens is if it's got airplay points and it's commercially available, it will go into the chart. However, if it's got airplay points but no sales on it, it's gone early, it will stop at 41. It won't go up above 40. But we feel it's important to keep radio within the single mix. They provide a good, really good service within New Zealand.
I've never quite I understood when singles weren't selling very many, but now that if you're selling 40,000 digitally a week and that's growing, why do you need? Why are we keeping radio?
There's a number of issues there. It has been reduced. It was at 50-50 was the split, and it's been reduced down to 25 to 75, which is important in terms of acknowledging that there is a lot more sales going on now. It's still a fairly small sample number that we're working on. We feel that radio points can actually sort of even that out a little bit. And the other thought was that New Zealand music isn't really just punching above its weight in the digital sales at this stage, where it is in radio. And we just felt, it's a way of actually just adding some balance for New Zealand artists and that, and it's done on an even basis. But, we're constantly reviewing the way things work in that regard too.
Now, we're talking about singles here. Traditionally the music business has made its money, well, for the last three decades, has made its money on albums. Is that going to be essential going forward for people to get used to buying albums online, or are we now in just a playlist and singles world?
Certainly artistically, I think, the value of the album, and, if you're a music lover, you understand the passion of an album. So I'd certainly like to think that from an artistic point of view, the artists are going to be really passionate about albums. Obviously, the consumer's moving. There's no question about that. They're enjoying, being able to cherry-pick tracks, making their own playlists. And it's certainly an issue for the broader industry is how we actually get bundle sales or album sales. Really, if you look at the new chart, as we've discussed, the singles chart's where all that change is going to be very visible.
Chris?
Yeah, I think people are also, I don't know if it's the digital age or the general age we're in, but albums don't have the life that they used to have. And so the whole cherry-picking thing is what we're all looking at and going, well, how's this going to work? Do you even put an album out anymore, or do you just release a hit and stay in the charts that way? I don't know. It's a generational thing, I think. I personally like to get an album, fall in love with one track, and then slowly move my way through the whole thing and end up liking the whole thing. But different people like it different ways, so I don't care. They can buy them either way.
Can we all agree that as of this week, the singles charts are more interesting than they've been for a long time?
I absolutely believe that, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is spectacular. I think it's the best thing that we've done in a long, long time. So.